All right, tonight we're going to chase the idea of biblical hospitality, kind of look at what it is, and this really kind of, some of this was spurred by somebody in my fellowship group. We were just reading through the Bible, and hospitality came up, and we just started talking about it, like, well, what does that mean? What do we have to do? What do we owe other people as Christians? And what they do in the ancient world. And I kind of realized, hey, I never really studied that deeply. And you see it all throughout the Bible, but I hadn't spent time to really go through and look at it and try and unpack what it looks like. So that had been on the back of my mind. And then the Odyssey just came out, which is a big, big movie still in theaters. And that hospitality is a massive theme in that movie, which kind of surprised me. And so that got me thinking more about it. So just been studying and looking at it and kind of want to try and do an overview of what does really the Bible have to say about hospitality, and also what would the ancient world have understood when they hear it. Like, we are very different, right? We're in a totally different culture and a very different world, 2,000 years later. But when the disciples or the early Christians heard, hey, be hospitable, what would they have thought that meant? And what was what did normal hospitality look like in the world before? So those are just kind of some of the big questions that I think are worth chasing and asking. And I have really just two key verses here. There's a number of them. We're going to look at a lot of them kind of as we go through this. But just two big verses to keep in mind. Some of this may be like a fire hose, so you're not going to remember all of them. But if these are the only two you remember, they're ones worth remembering. First one is Leviticus 19:34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This verse might sound familiar too. This is the Fergusons really use this kind of verse as their main verse for their ministry, motivating what they do, serving the refugees and the sojourners there in Germany. And then Romans 12:13, just good and simple, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So these are two places, Old New Testament, call us to be hospitable to strangers, to the sojourners, to those who are other, and other believers as well. But first, as we just think about the ancient world, and when I'm thinking ancient world, I'm thinking Old Testament times, and also just, the Greeks and Rome, because that's really kind of the time period Jesus and the disciples come into the New Testament. It's kind of their world. And really throughout all of this time, especially just through most of human history, aliens, strangers, they had no rights and no protections in the ancient world. No matter what nation you're looking at or what people, especially in the ancient world, if you are not a citizen of this nation, you have no rights. You have no protections. The government can treat you however they want with no restrictions. And other people can treat you however they want, and there's nothing you can do. You can't go to the court because you don't have any rights. You have nothing to really help you. And also, travel in this time period was unbelievably dangerous. Okay, just going from one town to another town that's 10 miles away was not just a stroll. It wasn't just hard because you got to walk. It's hard because who knows what's on the road? What animals are on the road? Israel is a place filled with lions and bears who attack people on the road, and robbers and other armies and soldiers. So when you're traveling, your life is at risk. And so the need for hospitality is very great. It's a necessity to be able to live. And so kind of in the ancient world, the Greeks, they saw hospitality really as kind of the chief difference between what makes somebody a barbarian or civilized. For this to be a civilized nation, this is a place that shows hospitality towards strangers. If this is a place or a people or a nation that doesn't do it, that's because they're barbarians. They're horrible. They're wicked. They're not good. It's an unchristian Greek view. That's the way that they thought about it. And it was expected that anyone who is traveling or sojourning by you would get offered table fellowship. They come and eat at your table, and you feed them, and you protect them. So you keep them safe. You let them sleep in your house, at your place. And you, if somebody else is trying to attack them or chase them, that you defend them. And even then, part of the Greek expectation was they wouldn't ask your name. They wouldn't ask, where are you from? Or, you know, who are your people? Until after you've been fed. So we'll feed you. We'll protect you after we've eaten. Hey, tell me your name again. That was kind of the good, virtuous expectation. Now, that obviously doesn't mean that every single Greek did this, right? But because that's clearly not true of any people anywhere. But that was the culture, the expectation. This is what people should do. And then Israel was very, very similar kind of in the ancient world. And Israel was not really that different from the nations around them. They were to, you know, welcome and care for the foreigners, whether it's people who have come to live in the land or people who are traveling and need a place to stay, need hospitality. And we'll tackle this a little later, too. But there are lots of places right in the Old Testament that talk about not intermarrying with foreigners, or you speak about the pagan nations. All of that, I think, if we look at it closely in the context, really seems to mostly be about idolatry. That's about them worshiping other gods, and that's what we're trying to avoid. It's not, don't hang out with people from other nations because they stink. It's, hey, we don't want to worship their gods, and we take that unbelievably seriously. But now let's just look at the Old Testament. I'm just giving you some of the main places. There are hundreds of verses that address the sojourner, that address the stranger, that address the foreigner, that address kind of hospitality in different ways. It's kind of this wide, really big thing. So I'm just giving you a couple key places. One of them that I think maybe might be a story that comes to mind, right, is Abraham in Genesis 18, when he sees people traveling by and he runs out to stop and says, oh, if I found favor in your sight, come stop in my house. Let me feed you. And it ends up, you know, being angels, being the Lord who are going towards Sodom. And even there, the same one's Lot is at the gate and he welcomes them and offers them safety and offers them protection in contrast to the wickedness of Sodom and their inhospitality. Now, some people go overboard, right, and say, well, that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not because of the homosexual sexual sin. It's because they were being bad hosts. Well, it's two things, right? Most people, when they sin, we don't just sin one way, right? Our sin cascades and multiplies, and we sin a whole bunch of ways. So, yes, they're inhospitable, and also they had grievous sexual sin. So both of those things are true, but there, see, even Lot, right, was trying to be hospitable, at least a little bit. We see Laban. One of the things that Genesis 31:15 tells us is the way that he is treating Jacob was inhospitable. That he was treating him as a foreigner and not treating him as a family member and not treating him as he should be, because he was expecting him to work and then he wouldn't pay him, and then tricking him with his daughters and kind of all the ways that he was mistreated. The Bible makes it kind of clear that this is not a hospitable way to act. We see other places, Exodus 22:21, you know, Israel is commanded to be hospitable to strangers. You know, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him. Why? For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So it's reminding them, hey, you need to treat other people this way because this was you once. Once you were slaves and foreigners in Egypt, and you left Egypt and you were wandering through the wilderness, and there were people, the Amalekites, right, who saw them sojourning and were weak and tried to attack them. And God defended them, kept them safe, and that's why Saul was sent to judge them, right? In 1 Samuel 15, it was because of this. But they're supposed to remember that, and so when it's their turn, and they see a sojourner, they see someone traveling, someone who's a stranger in a land, they need to remember who they were and not oppress them, not mistreat them. We also see this seems kind of strange to us. It's like, yeah, okay, duh. But this was radical in the ancient world. In Exodus 12:49, there's one law for the native and for the sojourner, or the stranger who sojourns among you. One, remember I mentioned the ancient world, they don't have any law. There's no protections whatsoever. There's nothing that addresses them. Or even if there was, it's, well, there's one law for like what we can do. Like, well, I can't kill because I'm a citizen, but like, you're not a citizen, so I can kill you. And that's fine. God's saying, no. My law, the word of God, the law of Moses, applies to everybody who's in the land, whether they are a citizen, whether they grow up in the land, or whether they're just passing through. The expectation is they follow God's law. And we see that repeatedly. There's a number of places where God says, hey, this is what you are supposed to do. Both you and the sojourner and the poor, everybody who's there. I expect everyone to kind of follow this. And so there's a lot even just wrapped up in there. And that phrase gets repeated about five or six times just that I counted. And one of the things with hospitality to do, Leviticus 19, 10, they shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither gather your fallen grapes or your vineyard, leave them for the poor and for the sojourner, for I am the Lord your God. There's a number of other places that mentions this when it comes time for harvest, that they're not to get every single thing that they can out of their fields, not go to the edges, that it's, hey, go through, harvest your field once, and whatever you missed, you missed. Leave it. Leave that so the poor and the sojourner can go and they can find it and they can gather it. Or even it says the fig tree, when you shake it, you know, one time and there's stuff still up there, leave it. Let them come and get it. So part of this is not just the individual hospitality that should show people who are traveling, but it's the hold back from your own harvest to let other people come and get it. There also, too, is the expectation that, you know, they have to go get it. They have to go do some work, but it's provided there for them. So there's kind of both here. There's also Leviticus 19:3, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns you as a native among you. Love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Wow, that sounds really familiar. Love him as yourself. So Jesus repeats that later. But again, so how are they supposed to treat the stranger and treat the sojourner? Is the expectation, treat him like you would someone who's a citizen of my people. You treat them just like you would treat your brother, just like you would treat your sister, your fellow Israelite, and love them like yourselves, not just because of who you were, that used to be you, but also, I'm God. I'm telling you to do this. And Deuteronomy 14:29 is another one. It talks about the Levite. So this describes a feast as part of the tithe. So every 3 years, they gather up all the tithes together. They gather up all of the crops, their food, and they leave it as a giant feast. Not for themselves, but for the Levites, because Levites don't have an inheritance, don't have any of their own land. And the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are in your towns, they can come and eat and be filled, that the Lord may bless you in all the works of your hands that you do. So it's also kind of this expectation that this regular practice of hospitality, which in Israel is going to work itself out in many different ways, will lead to God's blessing. And then there's Deuteronomy 10, 18, 19, and I put this one up here, but it explicitly says how, you know, God loves the sojourner, and he is the one who clothes them, who feeds them, who cares for them. Now, there are some restrictions on the sojourner, the stranger, who finds themselves either they're traveling through the land of Israel among God's people, or they've come to stay with God's people. There's some of the laws that apply a little differently to them. One is that they cannot participate in Passover nor eat of any of the holy food or of the holy bread. That is distinct. Now, too, as I read this, I couldn't help but think, that sounds like communion, too, right? Where, well, hey, who is this for? This is for believers. This is not for unbelievers. This isn't just like snack time or a potluck, anybody come and eat. No, this is just for those who are truly believing, truly following Jesus. Otherwise, there's judgment. It's the same thing with Passover, right? Where they can participate in it if they are circumcised and have converted and are following. Then they can. But if they're just passing through, it's, no, this is our meal. You can't do this. So they can't do that. Also specifies, you know, foreigners cannot be crowned king, which is in Deuteronomy, because they should wait for God to provide the king. This isn't just about, you know, like we would put in our constitution, who can and can't be president. This is God saying, I pick who the king is. So you don't need to go pick another king. And certainly don't go, well, our nation's really weak. Maybe we should go ally with Egypt and let him be the king over us. No, don't do that. Trust me, let me be in charge. It does say they can charge sojourners interest in loans. Can't charge any Israelite interest, but they can't charge foreigners interest. So that's something. But there is this beautiful part, too, in Solomon's prayer, and that real long prayer after he dedicates the temple, where he is praying, hey, Lord, now that this is here, would you come and would you draw the foreigners and the sojourners? Would they come to this place? Would they worship you? Would they call out to you and pray to you? And would you answer them? So all of this, too, is with the hope and the expectation for the followers of God, is that these sojourners wouldn't just be fed and taken care of and, you know, now they can go on their way or not be poor anymore. But the hope is that they would convert and come and worship the true God and become a part of God's people. We see that, you know, with Ruth. We see that with Rahab. We see that with some of these other people who come and and profess belief in God and then join his people even though they're foreigners. So that's kind of the hope. And there's the big, the big restriction on intermarriage, which is always contextually seems to be about worshiping other gods. Because many times it says, don't marry with other nations so that you won't worship their gods or worship their idols. Some people, right, like to rip things out of here and say, see, this is why, we should only marry people of our own country or our own race. It's like, no, that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about what are we worshiping? And that's what it's trying to avoid. And they did get in trouble with that a whole lot, didn't they? That's why it comes up so much. In the New Testament, we see hospitality come out a couple different ways. One of them, just practically, is Jesus, right? His whole ministry of 3 years where he's with the disciples and he is traveling. He is completely supported by the hospitality of strangers. And his disciples are. When he sends out the 12, when he sends out the 72, it's go into a town, and if anybody receives you, proclaim the gospel. And if they don't, wipe the dust off your feet and go on. Well, what does it mean, receiving? Now, yes, it's talking about accepting the gospel that's being proclaimed, but it's also very practically talking about, hey, we're here to preach, and nobody invited me to stay in their house. Nobody fed me. Okay, we're going somewhere else. Or, wow, these people have brought us in because they want to hear the gospel. They want to hear about the kingdom of God. They want to hear more about this Jesus. Or they want to hear Jesus, right? We see Jesus always meeting and eating and drinking with sinners, which also tells something. The sinners are the ones who show hospitality to Jesus, who want Jesus to come into their house and who feed him and who give to them. And it's the religious people who are also there, presumably also getting fed or hanging out. But they don't want to host Jesus. So we see that all throughout Jesus' ministry is the hospitality. And this continues with the disciples, right? All throughout the book of Acts, we see as the apostles are being sent out, the gospel is spreading through the hospitality of strangers. Mentions that explicitly in the book of Acts. A couple times he even uses the word hospitality there. But it's just those who welcome them into their homes. And then usually, oftentimes, that whole household is baptized. Everybody comes to believe in God. Or then the church begins to meet there. And all these wonderful things happen. It's kind of birthed out of that, which is just really beautiful. Elders, that's one of the qualifications of elder. Therefore, an overseer must be hospitable. It's in 1 Timothy 3:2. Titus 1:8 also mentions it. It's not like this is a nice thing. It's this elders must do this. We also see older widows in 1 Timothy 5. There's kind of this long section where it's talking about how the church should care for widows, because part of the expectation is that the church would care for widows and not just care for them and pray for them, but would feed them, would house them, would look out for them because nobody else can. And it kind of says some things like, okay, younger widows, if they could get remarried, and, then they need to go do that. Or if they have family, let their family take care of them. But if they're older and they're good and they're righteous, particularly if they're people who have shown hospitality, then the church should care for them. You must care for them. So that's that to say, hospitality is a marker of righteousness. See, Jesus, in Matthew 25, that whole section there is really it's really good. It's kind of it's often under-preached because, most people don't like this part. Just talking about the final judgment. But one of the things Jesus says in the final judgment is he's separating the sheep from the goats. He says, hey, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, you came to me. And the righteous say, when did we do this? When did we see the stranger and welcome you? And he says, as you did to one of the least of my brothers, you did to me. And then on the flip side, those who saw Jesus, the stranger, hungry, thirsty, poor, in prison, and ignored him and did nothing, they are cast out. And so there's this very, Jesus holds this in very high regard here as something that reveals our eternal destiny. That if we're somebody who really is righteous, who really is walking with Jesus, we show hospitality even to the least of these. If we don't, that for here, Jesus says that indicates those who are the goats. We're commanded, 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That one I don't like because I'm okay with showing hospitality, but I really do like to complain. So like that's my struggle. I'm just being honest. Like, it's not hard for me to be hospitable to other people, but I want to grumble about it a little bit. Okay? But this tells me I can't do that. I have to do this with joy, right? Romans 12:13 again, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That seek really just, that saps. It's not just like, okay, if I have to, if somebody, hey, can you show me some hospitality? Well, sure, I'll do that. And I'll even do it without grumbling. But it's, no, seek for it. Look for opportunities to be hospitable. Try to do this, which, like anything, if you're looking for something, you start seeing it all over the place. If you're looking for opportunities, you start to find them everywhere. Then Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality. Again, don't not do this to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I really wish they would, you know, the author of Hebrews would have just expanded on, whoa, what do you mean? But that's two different places, just in the New Testament, right? The way we treat strangers, that's how we treat Jesus, and sometimes that's how we treat angels. That's very big, that's very strong language. We kind of might want to like spiritualize that or explain it away, but it seems like there are real opportunities that we have had, that we have shown hospitality to strangers, and it has been done to Jesus, or it's even been done to angelic beings, and sometimes we've ignored them, and we've missed out on that. So that's kind of, you know, so that's an overview a little bit of kind of what the Bible says here. Then the question is, okay, how? What does this mean? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? And one of the frustrations, right, is that the Bible doesn't just lay it out for me and say, this is what hospitality is, do these things. Sometimes I'm not necessarily somebody who always loves rules, but sometimes it's nice. I want to know what I'm expected to do so I can just do that, right? Maybe some of you, that's you, especially something like this. Tell me what I have to do, and then I'll make sure I do that, and no more. Well, then the Bible doesn't do that. It's be hospitable. Okay, well, what does that mean? Who do I have to feed? Well, who is the stranger? Is it some, if they walk in the church, does it count? What if I just drive by them on the side of the road and I see that they're in need? Then do I have to? Or what do I only have to if they seem like they really need it? Or I have to about? The Bible doesn't spell all that out for us, which can be frustrating. I think it also is honestly more challenging that way. It leaves us in some ways with that excuse. It also means, you know, on one hand, we have to use wisdom. So I have to trust the Lord, but it does keep us from being legalists about it, to say, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. But we can be tempted to just say, well, I don't know how to do it, so I'm going to not do anything, which is often what we do. But how are we supposed to do it? Really, I think it comes down to that we should care and treat the stranger as family. That seems to be the main, if I had to summarize, what is the Bible when it's talking about treating the stranger, the sojourner, this person, and how can we be hospitable? It's treating somebody that we do not know as if they are a part of our family, the way that we would treat someone in our family. That seems to be what the Bible is kind of getting at. It frequently involves welcoming them to our table, eating with them, feeding them, caring for them, maybe even briefly housing them. And it seems to almost always be sacrificial and costly with no regard of being repaid or fairness. Or necessarily even safety, right? This is a thing with young parents we talk about. It's like, well, what about my kids? What if I bring somebody in and then they curse or do something weird? And like, yeah, well, that's not great. You know, we should use wisdom, right? And not be foolish. But the Bible seems to call us to it. So I don't even fully know what that means, but it's really these kind of two questions that for me have been convicting or helpful in. Well, when we think about being hospitable like the Bible says, what am I supposed to do? Well, one, it's just, well, how can I seek to be hospitable? If Romans tells us to seek it, to look for opportunities, to when somebody is in our home, to look for, how can I be more hospitable than I'm being now? How can I treat this person like a member of my family who's not? How can I treat this person who is a member of my family above and beyond? How can I seek for more opportunities to do this? That for me was just, that's a challenging thought. And then the other thought too is just, well, how can I be like Jesus and how I treat the stranger? And the way that Jesus has treated us in the gospel, that he died for us and he gave himself for those who hated him and were his enemies and crucified him and spit on him. And he loved us and he received us and he welcomes us and he adopts us into his family, not because we deserved it, not because we were awesome, not because we earned it, but because he is. Okay, if that's what he does to strangers like me, How can I act like Jesus in the way that I treat other people? I think if just that, I think, is more important than like coming up with an exact list of rules. Let's nail down exactly what hospitality looks like and what kind of meals and how much. Well, how can I look to be hospitable and how can I be more like Jesus in how I treat people? Those, I think, will lead us good places. And if you're not convinced I should be hospitable, well, there's just a couple of reasons. It seems like the Bible tells us we should do this or be hospitable. Well, the Bible tells us to, right? The Bible commands us in a number of different places. It commands us in the Old Testament, commands us in the New Testament. Seems like it's one of the things that we have to do. We can add it to our list. We should do it because we were strangers. God's been hospitable to us because he has saved us. Therefore, because of the gospel, we've been transformed by it. If it's true, we should also live it out. We should do it because we may have the chance to welcome angels without even knowing it. That's pretty awesome. That would be cool. I'd much rather get to heaven and find out and meet some angels that have been in my home that I had fed or spent time with than meet some angels that I ignored because I, for one reason or another, I would rather that not be true. We should also do it because every person's made in the image of God, right? If every single human being that we see, whether we believe they are worthy of our hospitality or not, they are somebody who is made in the image of God, who has infinite value and worth because of who God says that they are and because they reflect him. So we should treat them in that way, which is also interesting. I'm not going to spoil the Odyssey, but the main thing that it kind of goes through repeatedly as well, we have to be hospitable to strangers because, well, you know, it could be a god and we don't know it. Like it could be Zeus and we made him mad. So we don't want to mess that up. So we got to be extra careful. That's not Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality isn't, well, this person might be an angel, so we got to be careful. It's, well, this person is made in the image of God, and they have value and they have worth, and God loves them, and God wants us to care for them, so therefore I should. And also they might be an angel, but the other stuff too. It also reveals our eternal destiny, Matthew 25. If we don't do it, that you could be a goat, so probably don't want to do that. And we should do it because it communicates and it images, it lives out the gospel in a lost world. It's one of the great ways to show people the gospel. I'll close with just as thinking about this too, just with, Rika, our foreign exchange student, who we hosted her, for about a year, and we tried to be super hospitable. You know, we didn't let her pay for almost anything. We took her with us on all of our vacations, and we even tried to mirror and move some vacations around and places she could go see, you know, in the U.S. because we wanted to do that. And there'd be a lot of the times she'd ask, like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, because she would want to pay, and we would refuse, and her parents would try to send us money, and we would reject it, which they paid us. You know, they returned the favor when we visited them, which wasn't why we did it. But whenever she would ask or her parents would ask, we have this conversation, we'd just be like, this because of Jesus. Like, Jesus has blessed us greatly and because we love him. And so we want to do this for you. And so that's one of the, you know, there's many other ways that I told her about Jesus when we talked about the gospel. It's a very practical, tangible way to when somebody's like, why in the world did you just invite that person to your home? Well, the Bible told me to, and I think it's crazy too, but I'm just trying to honor the Lord, right? It's another way to proclaim the gospel and all that we do. But that's an overview. There's a whole lot of things all tied into that. I try not to chase too many rabbits. Kind of a brief little deep dive on what hospitality looks like in the Bible. Any questions or things I could answer? Clarify. I will say, too, the hospitals came, the origin of the word comes from hospitality, because they were places and homes and buildings that the church set up to care for sojourners, for the poor, for the weak, for those who were in need, because they were trying to live this out. And so many of us probably know hospitals came from the church, but the origin of it came from trying to be hospitable, and it just continued to, seeking opportunities, they continued to find more. Okay. I'll stop talking. I'll pray for us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. I thank you for the way that you have been hospitable to us who are strangers and who are sojourners and who still are sojourners in this land as we wait for you to come and to either take us with you to heaven or to bring us back here to the new heavens and the new earth. I pray that you will just help us, Lord. Would you help us to seek opportunities to be hospitable? Would you empower us through your Holy Spirit to do that in ways that maybe we wouldn't normally? And I pray that you would help us just to find ways that we can proclaim the gospel and tell people about you in the words that we say and of the things that we do, and particularly in the way that we treat strangers and those who are not a part of our family. And we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks for being here.